You are listening to the SCC Cast, weekly teaching and preaching from Springview Community Church. Find us on the web at www.springviewcc.org. We are located at 12881 Andersonville Road in Davisburg, Michigan. We welcome you to come as you are to experience a friendly worship setting with biblical preaching, teaching, and application. Now, here's Pastor Ben Glupker.
All right, well, let me encourage you to find your seat, find a Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We've been working through Luke chapters 1 and 2, and we'll, over the next several weeks, work our way into chapter 4 before we move on to the next thing. A little bit different kind of message today. Actually, a really different kind of message today in some ways. I want to think carefully with you about how 2025 might be for you a spiritually transformative year. So we'll get our bearings to start from the scriptures, and then I want to talk about making a plan. Ephesians chapter 4, familiar passage that we go to often. Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll begin reading in verse 17. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This is God's word. It says, "Now this I say, and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that's not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." Let's pray as we get going. Father, we're grateful this morning for your many blessings and gifts to us, and we're thankful this morning for your word. That it instructs us and teaches us and shows us the way we should go. Lord, I pray now you'd use your word. I pray that we would commit ourselves to it deeply, that we would give ourselves to knowing it and growing in it so that we might know and grow in you. Father, I pray that you'd use your word now in the life of your people, the good of your church, for the glory of your Son. I pray in his name, amen. Well, if you ask me to describe in one short phrase what it is we're trying to do at Springview Community Church, our aim is to learn Christ together. We're here to learn Christ together. And if you've been around here for a while, that phrase is familiar to you. If you're new, the phrase might be new to you as well. When people talk about what it means to have a relationship with Christ, learning him is not the most common way we hear people talk. We talk about following Jesus or obeying him, Jesus or worshiping Jesus or serving Jesus or living for Jesus. And all of those things are valid and all of those things are important. But the foundational way, I think, the most basic way to think about it is the idea of learning Christ. Learning Christ. That word, the Greek word behind learning here is manthano. It's the same word we get the word disciple from. A disciple is a learner. Think about Jesus during his earthly ministry. When he walked the earth some 2,000 years ago, among the very first things he does after he's baptized by John in the Jordan River is he goes around and he begins calling to him his disciples, his learners. And their job, their ministry, their opportunity for those next 3 years was to learn Christ. When Jesus dies and rises again and returns to heaven, he goes to those men who've been learning him for these 3 years, and what is his commission to them? Go, therefore, and make what? Disciples, more learners, more people who will learn Christ. In fact, he says, go into all the world and make disciples, teaching them. And see, learning, these disciples need to be taught what Jesus had taught them. The truth about God, the truth about who Jesus is, the very Son of God, and then also, what does it mean to live and follow him? Jesus' commission to them isn't go out and make converts. It isn't go out and see how many people we can get in our church. No, the most basic instruction is to them is to go and make disciples, men and women, boys and girls, who will follow Christ, learn to live with Jesus, learn to live for Jesus, learn to obey all that he had commanded them. A true disciple is someone who is truly learning Jesus. And here's the key, not just learning things about Jesus, but learning him. Not just facts, but learning a person. Here's one thing that's true of disciples of Jesus. Amid all the complications and challenges and difficulties of life, their most basic task is to follow and learn Jesus. To go where he leads, to do what he says, to live with him by his Spirit and live for him through the Spirit, to learn him, which means that learning Christ inevitably involves change. Learning means change. Paul makes that clear here in Ephesians chapter 4. He says in verse 17, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. You can't live the way you used to live. Jesus isn't merely an attachment in an additional app that you download to your life and say, among all the other things I have going, I also have this Jesus thing going. No, it's a new direction. It's a whole new, on that analogy, a whole new operating system. Now you can't live the way that you used to live. Well, how did they used to live? Well, there are all sorts of ways. I mean, there's countless different activities they were involved with, goals they had, priorities that guided and directed their lives, idols that they worshipped, all sorts of different ways in which they lived before. And the thing that was true about all of those things in common is that they weren't Jesus. They led somewhere else than to life with and life for Jesus. And Paul calls that, in verse 17, futility of mind. He says, if you're going to go on living the way you used to live, even though now you've claimed to follow Christ and you've publicly announced through baptism that this is the direction you're going, but you still live that way, it is absolute futility. You can't get anywhere meaningful and anywhere important claiming to follow Christ, but living the way that you have always lived. And he uses a vivid image in the next few verses, verses 22 to 24, to describe this change. He says that learning Christ means putting off the old self and putting on the new self. Putting off the old self and putting on the new self. The image is kind of like something we might talk about with clothes. So take like this coat or sweatshirt. Right? The idea is you have an old self. You have an old self, and it is marked before Christ. It's marked by sin. It's marked by self-focus. It's marked by obsessive concern about what others think. It's marked by the values of this world. And then the gospel comes in, shines light in the human heart, and a sinner believes, and new life. If anyone is in Christ, Paul says, he is a new creature. It is a new creation. And it would be wonderful if learning Christ, if taking off the old self and putting on the new self, and this would make more sense if I had two coats, but I only have one. So if it was easy as off goes the old self, and you grab the new self and you put on the new one, and it just happened just like that. I mean, that's how your Christian life has gone, right? All the old just falls right off. And all the good new self comes on, and it just happens. And if that's your experience, I'd love to hear about it. But that's not been my experience, and that's not most people's experience. It's more like that old self is slowly coming off. At the same time that the new self, I don't even know how to illustrate that with two coats, but the old self is coming off while the new self comes on. The new self, he says, that's created after the image of God in true righteousness and holiness. It's change. So that if week after week, month after month, year after year, nothing really seems to be coming off, and nothing new seems to be coming on, we start to wonder, what kind of spiritual life is there here? Is anything really happening? It's interesting. Turn over a couple pages to Colossians chapter 3. Paul spells this out in a little more detail. Colossians chapter 3. What does putting on this new self look like? What does this involve? He says, this is Colossians 3, verse 1. He says, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. So there's the basic breakdown. There's a heavenly mindset and there's an earthly mindset. And the new self is bringing a new heavenly mindset, a new heavenly spiritual focus as the old earthly fleshly one pulls away. So verse 5, he says, put to death, therefore, what's earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. And in these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing you've put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there's not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. So put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So here we see a kind of a description of what must come off and what must come on. But again, how? How does that happen? We could sit back passively and wait. We might sit back and go, I'm just going to do what I do and wait for the Lord to take off the old self and put on my new self. Problem with that is that the command here is to them, to the disciples. You take off. You put on. Now surely the Lord must ultimately empower and strengthen and equip for the work, but both things are true. The Lord is working. And God says, you must take them off. What do? Well, we get a few clues at the end of this passage. Verse 15, where we left off. He says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Well, growth springs from a kind of peace with God, which we only get through a deep understanding, a deep embrace, a deep commitment to the gospel, that God has saved us for Christ's sake, by his own grace. And then verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. This change happens as we invest deeply in God's word. And as God's word invests deeply in us, as it goes deep into our minds and hearts and souls and begins to change how we think and change what we value and change what we love and change how we live. And then verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So it involves a giving of ourselves over to living for Christ day by day. We learn Christ, and we learn Christ together as the old self comes off, as God does that work through the gospel, through his word, through the power of his spirit, we learn him together. Well, we just looked at these things a few months ago. We saw that there are five main components to learning Christ. As we go through the scriptures and say, how do the scriptures describe what it looks like to learn Christ or what someone who is learning Christ is like? There are five main ones. And one of the things that the elders and I have talked about and have decided is that over the next 5 years, we are going to, each of the next 5 years, give a particular focus to one of those learning Christ together criteria there. So the first one that we're going to look at this next year is learning to rest in Christ. Learning to rest in Him. Jesus, Matthew 11, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. So you will see over this next year that we are particularly going to pour deeply into learning to rest in Christ. Then, Lord willing, in 2026, we'll look at learning to love like Christ. Learning to love. Jesus says, as I have, that we're to love one another as He has loved us. In 2027, learning to live for Christ. Jesus says crazy radical things like, if anyone's going to come after me, he's going to have to take up his cross and follow me. And Lord willing, in 2027, we'll particularly focus on that. In 2028, learning to grow in Christ. If you abide in me, Jesus says, and my words abide in you, ask what you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father's glorified, you bear much fruit. You prove to be my disciples. And then in 2029, learning to lead to Christ. This very commission we saw earlier in Matthew 28, go into the world and make disciples. I don't mean that we'll only talk about one of those ever in any given year. Only in those next 5 years, Lord willing, we intend to focus on. You'll see in the classes we offer, the together groups that we have, a variety of other things, you'll see a particular focus on. What does it mean? How do we learn to rest in Christ, which is foundational and fundamental? Well, what I want to talk to you about in the time we have left today is something Pastor Jack and I have been working on for a while and are excited about. This process of taking off the old self and putting on the new self is, as we said, it doesn't happen in an instant. It takes time, and it is the Lord's work, and yet we are to give ourselves to it. And so what I want to do here is I want to pass something out here, something he and I've put together. I'm going to ask, would you pass some out maybe over here? And Nate, would you pass some on this side? A 2025 Learning Christ Together Plan. To my knowledge, we haven't done anything quite like this before at Springview, and we are excited to give this to you this year. I'm going to talk about this. There is also an instruction sheet that will be available on a table in the lobby afterwards, and talk about that more in a minute. That'll help spell out some of these things. What we want to urge you to do this year is commit yourself to pursuing growth in Christ, to pursue learning Christ together in an intentional kind of way. My guess is, if you're a genuine Christian, a genuine follower of Christ, and I asked you, do you want to grow spiritually in this next year? The answer, of course, is going to be yes. No true Christian says, no, I'm content. I've probably already overdone it with my spiritual growth. I don't want to go, you know, too... Everyone has the intention, but what we need is some focus, and need is a plan. So three things. Three things that we are trying to do here, and I'm going to give you a few things we're not trying to do with this. The first thing we're trying to do is give you a specific plan for spiritual growth in 2025. I expect that growing spiritually, if you're a Christian, is something that you want to do. But many people, many Christians, aren't quite sure how to go about it. I mean, they have ideas about the kind of things that growing in Christ might involve, but often people don't know where to start. They don't know quite the best way to go at it. It's a lot like working out. There are some folks that have great command of, you know, if I'm going to work out, if I'm going to get in shape, I need to do exactly this. But there are a lot of people who go, I'd like to work out, but I need someone to tell me what to do. That's why there are trainers. That's why are there workout videos, all sorts of things like this. You know, if you sat down with me and said, Ben, I'd like you to help me craft a, you know, a health and exercise routine for 2025, and I can understand why you'd come to me about that. Right? And I say, well, you're gonna have to do some activities that get your heart rate elevated. Right? You're not gonna go, why? How would that make any, you know? I say, you're gonna have to watch your calorie differential. You know, you're not gonna say, what difference does that make? I have to watch what I eat, right? But we understand the basic things. But we need to put them in practice. We need to have a plan that makes sense, that fits together. Something specific that will work for you. That's why the second thing we're trying to do here, on top of giving you a specific plan, is give you a customizable plan for spiritual growth in 2025. Not everyone needs or is able to do exactly the same thing. We're all in different places. I remember a number of years ago now, John Solberg used to go to church here. John was probably approaching 80 at the time, and I went up to Grand Blanc to see him. He'd had his knee replaced, and he was at the rehab hospital. I went in, I was talking to him, and the therapist was in there working with him. And the big goal for John's rehab, as he sat there with his leg stretched out, new knee, the big goal was to get his foot back and his knee at a 90-degree angle. And it was something they were going to have to work their way up to. Get his knee to a 90-degree angle. Well, if you came to me this year and said, my big fitness goal is to get my knee back to a 90-degree angle, I'd say, maybe you need to set your sights a little higher. Right? Not a great achievement. But the thing is, for John, where he was that day, that's exactly the goal he needed to have. When we think about learning Christ, right, we understand that learning is a process. It is, the key in learning is to make progress towards the goal. That's one of the things I love about learning Christ together, because it recognizes that not everyone's in the same place. Think about school, the most obvious context where people learn. Dave Stanton at Oakdale Academy, he doesn't go down to the third grade classroom and go, why aren't we seeing more progress in algebra? He might actually. High standards. I respect it, but yes. Right? Because we don't expect third graders to do ninth grade work. Right? Now, if the ninth graders are content to do third grade work, we're concerned. But third graders do third grade work, and then they do fourth grade work, and then they do fifth grade work. And we don't compare the third graders to the ninth graders and say, what is wrong with you? Why are you such an underachiever? Right? Third graders are like, give us some time. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing right now. And it's not so different in our spiritual lives. We're not all in the same grade, if you will. That's okay. Because we're not competing. We're trying to make progress. That's the goal. So the plan is designed to be customizable so that you can work toward and at the level that you need to work at, what's appropriate for you right now. You'll notice on the page there that there is, in each of these categories, there's four different options. Three that we've kind of laid out for you, things that you might choose, and a fourth that's just called other. And other means, hey, I've got this other goal. This is already working for me, or this is something I've wanted to try, or this is what I think is appropriate for where I'm at. And that's great. The point is simply that you pick something that works right for you. As you work from level 1 to 2 to 3, the plans get more demanding. They don't get better. Level 3 is not better than level 1. It's just more demanding, and you need to pick the one that works best for you. The best plan for you is the plan that you'll actually do. The one that you can sustain and maintain is the best plan for you. The other thing is, we'll talk about this again in a few minutes, you don't have to choose the same level in every category, and you don't have to pick something in every category. You might look at scripture reading and go, I've got that one down. I'm ready to go at a higher level there. And you might look at prayer and go, I'm going to start on the first level there and be happy if I make that progress. That's completely fine. You don't have to set a goal in every category either. More on that in a few minutes. Here's the third thing. Besides giving a specific plan and a customizable plan, the third thing we aim to do here is to give you, and I hesitate to say it this way, but hear me out, to give you a way to win spiritually in 2025. To give you a way to win spiritually. I hesitate to put it that way because it's not a competition, right? It's not Nate versus Steve and, you know, Gabby versus Carrie. We're not competing here, of course. And I don't want to imply that if you don't take this home and fill it out and do everything on here, that you're some kind of loser. I don't mean to imply that either. But I want to have, and I want you to have a good year spiritually. And how will we know if we did? It really is a challenging problem. You think about, what is the goal of learning Christ together? Well, if we went back to Ephesians 4, we'd see that we would be remade in the image of God. What is the image of God? Well, Jesus Christ is the image of God. So in other words, the goal of learning Christ together is to become more like Christ. Well, if that's the target, if that's the goal, I'm not going to reach that this year. You aren't either. And so we could look at it in one sense and go, well, that's so far. The standard is so high. We'll never know if we've made any kind of progress if the only way to win is to be exactly like Christ here and in this life. So, what we have here is something that we need to work on, something that we need to grow in. And a plan like this gives us a tangible way of knowing, am I really applying myself to learning Christ? There are some of us who will be hesitant to do this, right? Because as soon as I pick something, as soon as I set some goals or kind of frame a plan for my spiritual growth this year, I create the opportunity for me to fail. And we might say, but it generally isn't going to work for us to just say, well, I have good intentions. No, we need a plan. We need something to work at. Are we giving ourselves to the kinds of things that God uses to grow his people? The goal is learning Christ. It's a never-ending project. We want to see progress. Without a rubric like this, it's difficult to know, am I making any progress? Am I even giving myself to the kind of growth and spiritual effort that God is calling and helping me to do? Right? A plan like this can help us because it allows us to set some strategic goals in many of the categories for the upcoming year. What I mean is this. What I would encourage you to do is to take something like this and go, as far as my work this year, I'm going to set some goals in some of these categories. And if I meet those goals, I'm going to call it a good year for me spiritually. Because, you know, there's a couple different ways people can go sideways with this, right? If you don't have a plan, there's kind of two opposite mistakes people can fall into. Some people won't really grow spiritually in 2025, and they didn't have any plan, but it wasn't obvious. They didn't have a plan. There's no way to fail, and so they just grade themselves on their intentions. I intended to grow. My sympathies were with growing spiritually, but there's no real way to measure, no real way to gauge, no real way to know. And there are people on the other side who want to grow in Christ, and they may, if you're more of a perfectionist person, you may look at it and go, there are so many things I could be doing. I always could be doing more. And you look at something like this and go, I've got to do level 3 on each one, and I've got to add 5 extra categories on the back. And you overwhelm yourself with all the things that you're not doing. And something like this allows us to go, okay, this is my plan for this year, and I'm going to call it a good year if I succeed in these things. So what we're trying to do here as pastors is help you identify what a good year for you spiritually could look like and give you something to shoot for. Let me give you 4 things quickly we're not trying to do here. We're not trying to give you something to brag about. We're not, right? We're not encouraging people, post your progress on social media and let the world know all the great effort you're putting in. This is most certainly not a competition. And we shouldn't underestimate how easily pride can take us over in something like this. Success is not how well you do compared to anyone else, but how diligently you apply yourself to your own plan and goals. Secondly, we're not giving you something to feel guilty about. There's a high degree of likelihood as you pursue something like this, a high degree of likelihood that no matter what plan you settle on, you will struggle at some point with it. You'll fall behind, you'll get off track. It's just very likely. And in some ways, that's a good sign. It's a good sign because it means you've pushed yourself a little bit to grow and do, you know, challenge yourself to grow and do better. And growth is usually connected to struggle. If the plan is too easy, right? If you're like, man, I was working at a level 3 this year. Apparently I can go back to level 1 and be good. That's probably not the direction we're not trying to go backwards in this whole process. So we want to push ourselves at least somewhat. But we're not pushing ourselves in order for the purpose of feeling guilty. And here's the thing. Pastor Jack authorized. This is very important. Pastor Jack authorized a monthly or quarterly reset period. If you get off track, official Pastor Jack authorization, you can downgrade or upgrade your plan to more or less difficult. You can say, this category is too much. I might save that one for next year. You can say, this isn't pushing me. I need to add this. Regular recurring on and off ramps to start and stop and do what needs to be done. If you bite off more than you can chew, you know, don't beat yourself up for being too ambitious. Just reset and start again. You can always reevaluate and decide if you're still on the right plan for you. Here's the thing. As long as you don't quit, you can't fail. As long as you don't quit, you can't. You just keep pressing in on this. So we're not trying to make you feel guilty. We're not saying that this is the only way to grow spiritually. You might look at this card and go, I have a very similar system. I'm already doing this, working fantastic for me. That's wonderful. You stick with your system. Stick with what works for you. Or maybe you want to take some things from this and apply some other things. That's wonderful. You've noticed we included at the end a column labeled Other. You can absolutely customize it to what works for you and where you're at. Here's the fourth thing, and this is important, and Pastor Jack brings this up a lot. We're not trying to cultivate a legalistic spirit, right? And what I mean by that is we don't want you to say this. We don't want you to say, if I keep this checklist, God will be happy with me. If I keep the rules and I overachieve, then God will accept me. God accepts us based on his own mercy and grace and kindness through Jesus Christ. We're not working to earn God's favor. We're not working to warrant his love. God cannot love you more than he already loves you. So we're not working to earn his favor or his acceptance. God accepts us because of Christ. We're not working for his favor. We're working out of his gracious favor, out of his kindness that he's already shown to us. So there's no room for pride, right? We're not cultivating, we're not saying these are the only things. And of course, the other thing is, look, if when you say, well, if you do these things, it's a good year for you spiritually. But if you do all of these things this year and you steal from your employer, it's not a good year for you. If you do all these things this year and you run around on your spouse, it's not a good year for you. If you do all these things this year, but you do it grudgingly or you do it to impress people, it's not a good year for you. But as we intentionally and prayerfully pursue these disciplines this year, I think it could be an extraordinary year for us as we grow intentionally together in learning Christ. So let me look quickly with you at the plan here. I have a lot to say and a modest amount of time. So I will move quickly. Side one, the side that says 2025, learning Christ together. These four things are on this side because we just think these four things are foundational. In fact, they align pretty closely with our four critical activities. We listen, we pray, we invite, we give. Four things here. The first one there is Bible reading. And Jack has put together four reading plans, and those will be available in the lobby afterwards. Now, again, you may have a different reading plan that you like. Absolutely, you can do your own reading plan, whatever fits and works for you. All of the reading plans that he's put together are 5-day-a-week reading plans, Monday through Friday, which means you read a little more on those days, but it gives you a couple catch-up days every weekend, which most of us really benefit from. And so the first plan is just read through the whole New Testament this year, which you can do in about 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week. Level two is the whole story of the Bible. In other words, it starts at the beginning, but it picks out the key items in the story of the Bible, so it's not, Leviticus 14 probably won't be in the whole story Bible. They'll pick out key passages through the Scripture so that you get a feel for the full scope and story of the Scripture. That's probably about 2 chapters a day, 5 days a week, 10 to 12 minutes of reading, 5 days a week. Then there's a whole Bible plan as well, and of course you can always pick another one. Again, none of these are better than the other. The best one to choose is the one that works best for you, and you may pick based on all sorts of criteria. This year is finishing up. I did a whole Bible reading. I think I've got a couple other things I want to do scripture reading-wise this year, so I'm going to do level two this year. I'm going to do the whole story of the Bible, and we might do that together as a family as well and work through some of these things. So all of them are good, and again, there are plans with the first 3 months' worth of reading out there in the lobby. Secondly, prayer. We're going to try to get some more resources into your hands in regard to this as well. our focus on prayer here mostly, you see that the different options are once daily, twice, or three times daily. Our purpose there is thinking more in terms of building the habit of prayer. Even if those prayers aren't incredibly long, all of us, I suspect, want to grow in prayer. And what we're trying to do is build a habit. We didn't have room to put this in the card, but at level 2 and especially level 3, I would strongly encourage you to make one of those prayer times a time that you pray with somebody else. I think it'd be incredibly fruitful. Then church attendance. I won't belabor that either, but some of us, church attendance is such an important part of our spiritual growth. Undoubtedly more than we realize. The other aspect of that is that your attendance at church is not just important for you, it's important for everyone else. It's important for the people that you talk to and encourage and worship with. And so wherever you're at in your church attendance now, we want to encourage you to take the next step. If you come very occasionally, then maybe you say, I'm going to commit myself to at least twice a month. And if you come at least twice a month, I encourage you to bump that up to at least three times a month and work toward making that a regular aspect. The fourth aspect is giving. And we put giving on here. Of course, giving is one of our critical actions. We give. We talked about that back in October as we worked through some of these things. But giving is, as pastors, we're always a little reluctant to lean on people to give. But we put this on here not as leaders of an organization who are trying to meet budget, but as pastors who recognize that giving, learning to love money less, learning to give generously, is such an important part of our spiritual growth. We didn't put any suggestions on here because people are in all sorts of different places on something like giving. But we believe very strongly that everyone who is part of a church ought to give at some level. Even if give means, hey, I can do $10 a month or whatever modest amount it might be. Say, to start the habit of giving, as we see instructed, encouraged in the New Testament, we think is an important step. I encourage you to commit yourself to that as well. Now, side 2, I got to move quickly here. And there is an instruction sheet in the lobby, and Jack and I are very glad. Jack's out of town this weekend. You probably know that. His son got married last night, so he's still reveling in the joy of all of that. So he'll be back tomorrow. But Jack and I would be glad to talk to you about any of these things. But on the back here, just 5 categories here: fellowship, learning, serving, scripture memory, and reading. By fellowship, it's related to that critical action of we invite. We want to encourage you to be more intentional about getting together with other believers. Just to take more initiative, to be more intentional about that. This intentional, to set a goal. You know, again, whether that's inviting someone to your house, inviting someone else to dinner, getting together in whatever way, shape, or form with other Christians where you can fellowship with one another and encourage one another is such an important part of the Christian life. And again, you can pick the level that makes sense for you, or you can craft your own here. But we want to encourage that to be intentional about that. Learning. And by learning, we particularly mean the classes that we have here, the together groups. We want to encourage everyone. I want to encourage everyone to take one class and do at least one class and at least one group every year. I think they're so valuable. They do slightly different things, which is why we offer them both. And you could pick a level here and commit to that. Serving, whether that's something here, particularly here in the church, but it could be outside the church as well. Again, depending on where you're at in your ministry, current ministry progress, I encourage you to jump on one of those. Scripture memory, which is a big one. In fact, in the Bible reading plans, there are some scripture memory options there. We've picked a number of verses, somewhat related to the scripture reading and somewhat related to our goal this year of working toward on learning to rest in Christ. And then finally, reading. I don't have a reading list, but we're gonna recommend some books to you, and of course you can pick your own books. I encourage you to pick good books. I'm always glad. I don't. If you ever want to have a conversation about books, I'm your guy. So please feel very free. Like if you ever called me and said, Ben, I hate to bother you, but I want to talk about books. You are not bothering me. All right. So. And we'll have, in the next week or two, we'll have some recommendations, a few books like, hey, if you're going to read one or two, read these two this year, and then some other options that you can choose through. So I'm excited about all the possibilities here. Now, as I finish, what if all of this is too overwhelming? You know, what if it's like it's just too much? I don't know. I don't, you know, I'm currently, you know, doing hardly any of these. Well, look, overwhelm isn't the goal, right? We're not chasing perfection over the next 12 months as though that's, you know, I got to max out all of these categories, right? So if this is overwhelming to you, forget about the backside and start with side one. And if side one is overwhelming with you, start with the top one, just reading the Bible, and set a manageable goal there as well. Now, here's the other thing. Maybe some of this is just all too new for you. You're like, you talk about taking off the old self, putting on the new self, learning Christ. All of that is like, you're like, I'm not even sure what all of that means. Well, that's, I'm super glad you're here. We are working on a track for you too. So I'd love for you to come talk to me if that's your track, because the track there is going to be very straightforward. I'm going to give you one thing. Do this. Come back to me after you've worked through this, and we'll go on to the next thing. Working on that. If that's you, please, please come talk to me. Love to talk about that is all as well. Now, one of the ways to take this to the next level, one of the ways to maximize this is to have some level of accountability. In other words, someone else who can see your chart. And if you're interested in saying, I'd like Pastor Jack or Pastor Ben to check in on me. Pastor Jack's really harsh, so you probably want it to be me. We would love to talk to you about this. So, super excited. So, what I would encourage you to do is, you all have a card, and there's some reading plans out in the lobby, and we have a few more days this year. I want to encourage you to take those few days to think and pray about what should I plan to do this year? What does God want me to focus on this year? Again, you might look in the backside of this and go, that's a lot of things, but one of these is an area where I really need to grow, or one of these seems most strategic. I want to encourage you to pray over the next few days and begin to set some goals in that regard. As we move to the Lord's table this morning, we are changing gears in many ways. We talk here about, with this plan, we talk about growing in Christ and learning Him and working out our own salvation as God works in us to will and do according to His good pleasure. When we come to the table this morning, though, we are reminded that our place with Christ, our status with Him, is not something we've worked for. We didn't work ourselves into God's good graces. We didn't commit ourselves and scheme and strategize and effort our way, muscle our way into His favor. You know, Romans 5 tells us that God demonstrates His love in this, that while we were still sinners, alienated from God, going in the other direction, pursuing self, pursuing the world, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. We weren't looking for Him. He came looking for us. We are exceedingly blessed. As we come to the Lord's table, the Lord's table is for the Lord's people. Not for people who are worthy of Him. Who's worthy of Him? Nobody deserves a place at His table. He invites us into His family. He invites us to His table. Those who have come to Him, not with their impressive resume, not with their, look how much I accomplished this year on my Learning Christ Together plan. He invites to His table those to come to Him in humble, repentant faith, who come to Him not with their impressive efforts, but with their deep need. And those who have come to Him with that faith, that acknowledgement of their deep need, trusted in Jesus, who's died in their place, as we take of the cup, it symbolizes His blood shed on our behalf. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. And His body and the bread, the body that was broken for us, we remember Him. We remember what He's done in the past. And we look ahead to the future. We look ahead to that day when we will, not symbolically, but very literally, sit with Him at His table in His kingdom. And that day we will be like Him. Now we're working and trying and praying about becoming more like Him. But then we will be like Him because we'll see Him as He is. And so this celebration of the Lord's table looks back at what Christ has done. It looks ahead to what Christ is doing and is going to certainly do for His people. If you are His child, if you've given yourself to Him in faith, You've trusted in him. Well, we invite you to share this table with us. If you've not, I want to encourage you to let the elements pass you by. But there's something for you to do too. For you this morning, what God calls you to is to turn to him in repentance and faith. This morning, today, while it's still called today, to put your trust in him. Let me invite the men to come as we prepare to take this together. Paul the night said, "For I receive from the Lord what I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's remember him together. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's take together. Father, we're grateful this morning to both remember and proclaim your loving and sacrificial death on our behalf, and your glorious resurrection to life also for us, that we might find life eternal with you. Father, I pray, even as we're reminded by the bread and the cup this morning, I pray that we would be strengthened in all that you've done for us. I pray that as we look ahead to 2025, we would learn how more deeply, in a more settled way, how we can really rest in you because of what Christ has done for us on the cross. Oh, I pray that you would work in this next year in our church, in our life together, a deep rest, a deep confidence in Christ, a deep confidence in the power of the gospel that changes us and strengthens us and does your glorious work of making more learners of Christ in this community. Father, we thank you for your grace and kindness to us in Jesus' name. Well, thank you for coming this morning. It's been great to see you. I do want to encourage you to grab a card. If you didn't get a card, there should be some. I'll stick the stack out there in the lobby, and you can grab one out there. We encourage you to check out the Bible reading plans there as well. And if you have any questions, again, if you have any questions, want to talk about that, please feel free to come talk to me or reach out to Pastor Jack. We are excited about what God is going to do in us this year. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. God bless you. Have a great week.